Am I on? Hey, what's up, everybody? I love you guys. Man, how many believe that song that we just sang? Jesus, you're still enough. Jesus, you're still enough. Your grace is sufficient for us. In this place, Lord, we believe that you're here, that you're still speaking, that your work is not done. Well, we've seen you move, Lord. And we believe that you're not finished, Lord. We believe that just as the rain falls to the earth and it waters the grass and it cultivates the earth, Lord, your word comes out from your mouth and it accomplishes what you want it to do. There's so many guarantees, Lord, so many promises that we can cash in on. Guys, how many believe that God's promises don't have an expiration date? That they were true for Moses, they were true for Abraham and Sarah, they're true for you today. And God says, just as he was with Moses, just as he was with Joshua, just as he was with David and all the men and women that trusted him in the past, he is with you right now. You believe that? That he's good, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Do you really believe that? Because it doesn't sound like you do. Do you really believe that, Spectrum? Hey, we're storytellers, right? Like, we would rather hear a story, we would rather tell a story than just receive information alone. Just that's how we are, that's how we're designed as people. We want to hear a story. Like, if you went on vacation somewhere like England, okay, it's just, that's on my mind. So, like, if you went to London and you came back, I would want to know more than just information about the city, right? I'd want to know your experience there. I'd want to hear your story. I'd want to know what you saw, what you did, what it felt like to be out there. We want stories. That's what we are as people. We're storytellers. You know, whenever we go on like some sort of like adventure or vacation or destination or whatever we do in life that we see it as an experience, we tell people like, you should have been there. Like, oh, I wish that you were there, right? Like back in the day, we sent postcards to people. You guys know what postcards are? You're like, I have no idea, right? And we sent them, no, yeah, you do, like, we sent them to people, we're like, wish you were here, right? We're having such a good time without you. And nowadays you post everything, right? We take photos, we take videos, and we want people to know, like, I'm here. Because if I didn't take a photo and post it with my friends and post it for my family and all those people, then, like, it didn't really happen, right? And so we want people to hear our stories. We want people to come to that destination that we're on, even if it's just in a video or a photo. We share those things, even if it's like not exciting, you know, we come in and we share like, I had eggs for breakfast and I'm going to post it, you know, and so that everybody can see my story, my adventure, my life. And we go places, we go to coffee shops and we're always just like, oh, like I didn't go to this coffee shop unless I post it and share it with everybody. We write reviews because we want people to come into the story that we're a part of, what we're experiencing. We write Yelp reviews, or I don't. Some of you do. You know what I mean? Not me. But we do that. We're storytellers. We all have stories to tell. I think, like, I was thinking about, like, what I like to do for fun, you know? And I think one of the funnest things that I can do is just gather around with some of my friends, my loved ones, and just share stories, you know? Just talk about life. Like, man, you remember that time? Or, like, hey, let me tell you, like, the craziest, scariest story that's ever happened to me. Or let me tell you about my favorite place to travel or my favorite place to eat. Like, we love being able to share our experiences. We're all storytellers. We have a story to tell. Now, Jesus, in our text for tonight, in Mark chapter 6, if you have a Bible, you can open it up. But Jesus' apostles, the 12 disciples, have just come back from their first missionary journey that Jesus sent them on. The beginning of chapter 6, we see that Jesus sent his disciples out two by two into the villages to go and to preach the word of God, to share the gospel, the good news that the kingdom of God was near, and to heal the sick and cast out demons from demon-possessed people. And so they came back from this trip, and they're so eager to report everything to Jesus about what they did, what they saw, what they said. I don't know how long they've been gone, but they had been gone a little while, enough to like have these stories and these experiences. And so when they report back to their master, when they report back to Jesus, the one that sent him out, they're excited. They're eager to tell him everything. Jesus, we did this. Jesus, we saw this. Jesus, how crazy was it to do this? They're excited. They're talking Jesus' ear off. They're telling him all about what they did. They're kind of like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right? Sharing with Master Splinter about like what they did and all the trouble that they got in and all the things that they saw and how they saved the day and all that stuff. They're talking and Jesus is listening. I mean, I imagine John, he's like, Jesus, bro, like, so like we were on this village and like, and there was this like crazy demon possessed guy and he was crazy. He was like growling at us and like, and it was weird and we were all scared. And then like Peter stood up and they're like telling this story. Like Peter, Jesus was like, demon dude, like come out of him, right? And then the demon came out. Jesus, you should have been there. It was amazing what's going on. And they're telling Jesus and Jesus is listening to them. They're telling him everything. That's kind of to set the scene of what's going on. They just got back from that mission trip. They're giving Jesus all the information. But they're telling him the story of what they experienced. Life change. We're going through our series, Memoirs, The Life of Jesus. And it's been awesome. Let me just tell you this. I am so honored to get to be up here and to teach the Bible to you guys. I don't take it for granted. I never have. I never will. It's an amazing privilege to sit together, to open up our Bibles and just talk about Jesus. Just look at his life, look at his character, look at his heart, and just see everything that he wants us to see, to hear everything he wants us to hear, and then put it to practice. That's an amazing privilege that I hope you never take for granted. But we're going through this series, and we're in Mark chapter 6, and we're in verses 30. What does it say up there? It says 34. We're going to start in verse 30, and we're going to go all the way through 44. It's a story that I think just has a lot of... It has a lot of power behind Jesus' actions and what Jesus came to do. And I'm really excited to share that with you guys. But this is the story, if you've ever heard of Jesus feeding the 5,000. The 5,000 plus. This is like the ultimate feast, okay? Like this is the dinner of all dinners. Like this is it. Jesus coming out and the whole villages and the cities and the towns and everything came out to meet with Jesus. 5,000 men plus women and children. And Jesus is just like, he feeds them. This is the ultimate feast. Have you ever been invited to like a feast, like Thanksgiving dinner or family dinner, a picnic lunch, some sort of dinner party? We've been invited to those things. Regardless of whatever they are, you know. And there's always a question that we ask or that we have to ask when we get invited to those things. Like, hey, you want to come to a picnic? Hey, we're having a dinner. You should come over. We got to ask the question, okay, what should I bring, right? Like anyone has the decency to be able to ask that. And there's somebody that like will come in and I'll bring the drinks, right? Somebody's there. Usually the host provides the main course. And then like somebody's going to bring desserts. And then there's that one person that's like, doesn't bring anything. And they show up and they eat the majority of the food. That's me. Is that you? That's me for sure. I'm just like, what's up, right? Like I came hungry, right? That's what I brought. I brought my appetite to this meal and I'm going to just feast. Here Jesus pretty much provides everything in this story. He pretty much brings everything. The multitude, they just showed up. The disciples, they were kind of just there. And they had a part to play, but the majority of it was Jesus brought pretty much everything to the table. He had it all set up. That was his thing. And as we read this story, we're going to read it just piece by piece. We're going to look at three things that Jesus brings. Just based on this text, based on this story. Three things that Jesus brings. And then there's one thing that Jesus wants us to bring. One thing that Jesus wanted the disciples to bring. And so let's just jump right into it. We're going to read just verse 30 through 32. And let's look at just the first one as we read that. But let's read it together if you have that Bible. The apostles, it says, gathered together, verse 30, with Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were many people coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. They went away into a boat to a secluded place by themselves. Jesus sees the disciples' passion. He sees their energy. I mean, this is like, you know, an adrenaline rush coming back from the mission trip. Like, they got to see, you know, demon-possessed people healed. They got to see sick people healed. They got to see people repent of their sins and become followers of Jesus. It's been an amazing thing. And so Jesus is listening to their stories. And he sees their excitement, but he also sees that they're kind of delusional. They're kind of tired. They're exhausted. They have this like weird, like, I'm excited, but oh, I could fall asleep any minute, and, you know, type feeling. If you've ever been on a mission trip, you know what I'm talking about. I went to, my wife and I, we had a privilege, the privilege of leading the high school team a few years ago on a trip to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And it was amazing. Like, it was a life-changing trip. We got to see God do some amazing things there with the missionaries, with the Martins, and it was awesome. And while we were there, we worked like really hard. Anybody ever been on a mission trip? A few of you, you know what that's like? Like, it's tough work. We were working with a VBS, and we were working at a mission, and the missionaries that were there, amazing people, but they were like machines. Like, they didn't know when to stop. And so, like, we would eat lunch at noon, and then we would just work at the VBS. We worked at the mission. We worked doing, like, just, like, cleaning and just grunt work and roofing and all these things. And then, like, and then it got dark. Oh, and there was a tree. That's a whole other story. I think I've told you about it before. So there was a lot of stuff going on, but, like, the missionaries would, like, forget about dinner. That's crazy, right? And so me as the leader, I'd be like, I'm really going to kill somebody right now. So, like, we got to go eat dinner, right? Me as the leader, I was responsible for making sure the team of high school students and my wife, we got to eat. So I would, like, I would be the one to make the call, like, hey, you know what? Love you guys. I'd tell the missionaries, but we got to stop. Like, we're calling it for the day. And we're going to go and get dinner. And when we went to dinner, like, it was like heaven. Like, every night we'd be like, oh my gosh, this is surreal, right? We would sit down at some nice restaurant in Mexico, like on the beach, like picture that. And we'd have like steak and shrimp and, you know, no margaritas, but anything like that. But, you know, like, it was awesome just to like get to feast and just kind of zone out. You know what I mean? Like, we just kind of zoned out. Like, this food is so good. Like, I can't tell you anything else. Like, don't talk to me. Don't pray. Let's not even pray before we eat. You know, let's just eat because I'm exhausted. We've had a long day and it was amazing. See, Jesus is listening to these stories and the reports from the apostles. And it's great stuff. It's good stuff. But now he's like, boys, I can see that you're not really here with us right now. So let's get out of here. Let's get out of town. Let's go to a secluded place and let's just get you guys some rest and let's eat. And so they leave. They get in a boat. And I love that Jesus and his disciples got in a boat instead of walking the long way over to the place that they were going. They got in a boat. And it's 10, 11 miles. They just floated down the water, right? I mean, that's pretty nice, right, for Jesus to be like, we're just going to get in a boat. You guys just chill. No messages, no, you know, sermons, no, nothing like that. Like, you just zone out. We'll get there. And then you guys rest. And that's the one thing that I really see in this beginning that Jesus has with his disciples is he has that leadership to be able to tell them it's time just to rest. He brings the rest. You know, what does this show me? What does this show us? Jesus knew when the apostles needed to rest and he knows when you need it too. Okay? Jesus is your shepherd. That's what the psalmist said in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, because life can be tiring, right? Life can be crazy. Life can just be nonstop. And especially as a middle school student or a high school student, right? Because you're just trying to stay afloat. You're trying to get through school. You're trying to make sure your grades are up. There's all these different expectations. You're trying to keep up with social pressures. And you're just trying to fit in. Life is full of all kinds of different commitments and expectations. You're like, my parents, if I could just keep them happy, if I could just please my parents, like they expect me to be this way. They expect me to do these things. And it can be kind of tiring. Or we say, I'm just trying to fit in school and find friends that actually care about me. I'm trying to not embarrass myself and make a fool out of me. I'm trying to just keep up my reputation around here. And that's hard in addition to all the schoolwork and everything else you have. Maybe you're here and you understand that. You're going through some stuff and you feel like, if I'm being honest, I'm just trying to stay afloat. I'm just just trying to like hold it all together, and I'm trying my hardest not to fall apart. Maybe you're here and you're like, I get that. I feel anxious. I feel scared of the future. I feel depressed at times. I feel stressed out. Maybe that's you. And when I look at Jesus taking his disciples away from the crowds and the craziness and seeing all the work that they did and taking them away and to a secluded place, it just shows me the love that Jesus has. He's the ultimate leader. And as I look at you guys, I can see something, that the reality is that many of you, if not all of you, are carrying some kind of burden tonight. In one way, shape, or form, you're carrying burdens that Jesus doesn't want you to carry. But let me tell you this. Jesus is pursuing you, and he wants to exchange burdens with you. That's what Jesus is wanting to tell you tonight. What did he say while he was on the earth to his disciples, to the crowds? He said, come to me. All you who are weary, all you who carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for the burden that I give you is light. It's easy. I'll take the burdens that you have, Jesus says. You're anxious. You're feeling frustrated of the future. You're feeling condemned over the past. Jesus, give it to me. I'll take it, and I'll exchange it for the burden that I carry, and that's light. That's rest. Jesus cares about you. Like I said, it's summed up perfectly in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have no wants. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. That's a beautiful thing about Jesus, is he cares about your rest. He wants you to rest. But don't get me wrong. I'm not saying like Jesus is like, be lazy and just relax and like Hakuna Matata. Like, that's not Jesus. Jesus, he has work ethic, right? His apostles, they worked their butts off in the first chapter right here. Jesus wants us to work. He wants us to stay busy, to take advantage of the opportunities that we have. But he also knows when it's time to rest. And I think what that shows us is that shows his rest, and the giving of that rest shows us that Jesus truly cares for us. He cares about you. He cares about me. He doesn't want us to just fall and just like be buried under the weight of life, because that can happen. He's showing that he cares for us, that he wants what's best for us, that he knows what's too much for us. He knows what we can carry and what we can't. He knows what's going to hurt us. He knows what's healthy for us and what's not healthy for us. He's a good shepherd. He knows what's going to break us and what is going to what's going to make us in life. That's our Savior. That's the Jesus that we follow. And you know what I've been realizing? As I take Jesus upon his word, as I just give in to the rest that he's called me to, when we rest, the result of that rest is always going to be getting back up with renewed energy, with renewed passion, with a renewed perspective to get out there and do the work that God's called us to. But he's a good shepherd. He brings the rest. You know, Jesus isn't a slave driver. He's the good shepherd. And he knows what's too much for you. And he knows what you can't carry. And he says, I'm going to carry it for you. I'm going to give you rest so that you can be a light, so that you could be faithful, so that you could be the person that I've called you to be. That's the first thing. He brings the rest. The second thing is this. He brings the work. Jesus brings the work. Verse 33 through 34. Let's read that together. The people saw them going, and many reorganized themselves, or recognized them, what am I saying, and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus went ashore, he saw a large crowd, and he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Have you ever seen that commercial that's like for DayQuil or something like that? And it's like this lady, and she opens the door of a room, and she like peeks in, and she's like, she's like, Amanda, sorry to bother you, but I'm gonna have to take a sick day. And then the camera pans, and it's this little like toddler, and Amanda is like 4 years old, and she's just like just looking like confused and helpless. Then it's like, moms don't take sick days, moms take DayQuil, right? And I feel like I like that they say moms don't take sick days because dads take sick days. Okay. I know, I'm not proud of it, but when I get sick, I can't even take care of myself. My wife takes care of me. And my wife isn't even here tonight because she's taking care of my sick daughter who has a fever. So it's just like, you know, it's appropriate. But Jesus, you know where I'm going with this. He doesn't take sick days, right? Jesus doesn't like clock out and he's like, I'm done for the day. I'm sorry. I'm just tired. Like you guys, your requests and your petitions are just like, can you just stop? Like, I just need a break, right? Jesus doesn't stop working. He doesn't check out. He doesn't clock out. He finishes the work that he begun. He still continues. The multitude came, and Jesus wasn't like, sorry, guys, I'm with my disciples right now. Like, we'll meet up later. We need to rest. Oh, but at the same time, he doesn't tell his disciples, like, guys, get up. That rest didn't last long. Like, let's minister to them. Let's cater to them. Let's take care of them. Jesus let the disciples do nothing. He just let them rest, like, just chill, for at least for a while. He'd call them to work in a bit. But Jesus responded to the multitudes. That's why he came, for the multitude, for the people. He was filled with compassion for them. They were like sheep without a shepherd, and so Jesus steps up to it because that's what he does. He works. He let the disciples rest, and he ministered to the crowds. It was his work. It was his work. Let me tell you something tonight, Spectrum. Here's what I get from this. When I look at Jesus and his work ethic, as he's just teaching the crowds, he's ministering to the multitudes. God's work doesn't finish just because the season finishes. God doesn't stop speaking just because the messenger leaves and another messenger will come in. Jesus keeps speaking. Jesus keeps working. Just because a season changes doesn't mean Jesus is not going to keep speaking and to keep doing the work that he's begun because it's his. You know, Spectrum is God's work, right? We believe that. We were praying beforehand with the leaders and just believing that. Like, this is God's ministry. This isn't Kelly Bransford's. Like, I've been here 7 years and God has used me here for 7 years by his grace. But that doesn't mean that God's stopped working. He continues that. It's his. Jesus is the leader here. Jesus is the one that continues to pave the way and to bring life change. It's all him. He keeps it going. Change comes, but Jesus never changes. He's always at work in the lives of his people. I think of Jesus as he spoke to the disciples. He said, God is always working. The Father is always at work, so I'm always at work because that is his mission. And if Jesus were to ever take a sick day or clock out or check out along with the disciples, he wouldn't be who he says that he is. And we wouldn't be able to call on him in any time or any place and bring our burdens and our requests to him. He is the God who is always at work. Do you believe that? He's the God that is always up to something. He never stops. He's still working. He still has compassion for the lost. Jesus is still, he's still working. The Holy Spirit is still moving. I believe that. I believe that Jesus is not just, I worked for a season and done, but Jesus is still going. He still has some things to say. Look, the Good Shepherd is still with you. And he's going to lead you. I don't know where that is. The Good Shepherd is still with me. And he leads us beside quiet waters. Sometimes he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And even there, we don't have to be afraid because he's with us. He says that his rod and his staff, they're a comfort to us. And we can trust that he's still at work. Like I said before, Jesus is the same yesterday. He's the same today. And he's the same forevermore. He's not going to stop his work. Here's the third thing. He brings the feast. Verse 35, let's read the rest of the story, verse 35 through 44. When it was already quite late, the disciples came to him and said, "This place is desolate and it's already quite late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and spend 200 denarii on bread and give them something to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go look." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. They sat down in groups of hundreds and of fifties. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed the food and broke the loaves, and he kept giving them to the disciples and set before them as he divided up the 2 fish along among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 12 full baskets and the broken pieces and also the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Now, Jesus wasn't worried that night. And it's pretty evident that the crowds weren't worried that night. Because if they had been worried, like, as it got late, they would have left, but they stuck around. They weren't planning on going anywhere because they wanted Jesus to be their king. They wanted Jesus to set up his throne and his dominion right then and there. And so they're not worried, but the people that were worried were the people that didn't need to be worried because they've seen Jesus. They've been with Jesus. They were his disciples. And, you know, maybe they were naturally worried for the right reasons. It's dark. The people haven't eaten. The people are just hanging on every word that Jesus is saying. And so they're like, Jesus, like, bro, like, you got to send them home. Like, what's going on? But Jesus wasn't worried, right? Because he had it all under control. Dinner was paid for. Dinner was provided. He would take care of the needs of the people. It was all done. The check, it came in. Jesus, he covered everything. I remember years ago, while I was still pastoring here, like, there was a student of mine a long time ago who wanted to, like, hang out with me and talk a little bit. And so I was like, yeah, let's go get dinner. I'll pick you up. I'll cover, right? Let's wherever you want. So we went to, like, Chili's or something because Chili's is the best, right? Yeah. Chili's over Applebee's? Any day, every day, okay? Okay, now I'm preaching, okay? So we went to, like, Chili's or something like that. And so I sat down, and I'm like, dude, whatever you want, bro. Like, you just pick whatever you want. Like, you want the most expensive thing? Like, get it. And so he orders, and I order, and we ate. And it was a good meal. And then afterwards, when it came time to pay, I'm looking for my wallet. I don't have my card. I like have nothing. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, right? Like, I was like, dear God, no, like, this is not good. And I just had to look up to him and be like, I don't have any money. And he was like, oh, and he was like my student, right? And I felt so awful because he had to pay for our meal. But secretly it was like, you paid for my meal. That's awesome. Thanks, man. But here's Jesus, right? Like, the disciples are worried. Nobody else is really worried because Jesus has it taken care of. And so he asked the disciples, he's like, hey, like, what do we got? And they're like, well, we have just a little bit. And he's like, hey, I got it covered. Like, no worries. He took these 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish, and he just covered it. He multiplied it so that it fed 5,000 people plus. Only the men were counted back then. So it's 5,000 men plus women. We have no idea how many people got to eat, but they all ate and were satisfied. Look, Jesus provided then. He's going to provide now. I got to hold on to that promise, and you got to hold on to that promise. Jesus provided then. It was no big deal. Jesus is in control. He was the shepherd for the flock, for the multitude. And all they were doing is just hanging on every word that Jesus said. And Jesus not only met their spiritual need, but he met their physical need as well. It was no problem. Jesus provided for them. He'll provide for you. He'll provide for you tomorrow. Don't worry. Let me tell you. Christian, don't worry. Isn't that what Jesus said? You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Isn't life more than that? Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you'll put on. Like, isn't life more than clothing? Jesus says, look at the birds. You know, they don't store up their food into barns. They don't harvest or reap. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Let me tell you, birds don't have a heavenly Father. They have a creator. You have a heavenly Father. And he's going to come, and if he meets the needs of a few little birds, some sparrows, how much more is he going to meet your needs? Jesus says, oh, you of little faith. Don't you think God's going to come through? He's going to take care of it. You're far, far more valuable than any bird. You're his children, and he'll come through. That's what he promised. So what are you worried about today? What are you worried about? What are you anxious about? I know what I'm worried about. I know what I'm anxious about. And as I was looking at this passage, I had to just let go and just say, you know what? I got to trust something. And you got to trust the same thing today. That Jesus knows your needs. And in his perfect time, he's going to meet them. In his perfect time. We have an expectation, right? For when we want God to provide for us and when we want God to give us the things that we feel like we need. And we give him a time limit. We give him this certain expectation. But God's timing is so much better than our timing. His ways are so much higher than our ways. He knows the right time. So whatever you're worried about today, just remember the Lord is your shepherd. You have everything you need. He's going to take care of you. Now hold on, what was the meal that Jesus provided? Steak, lobster, right? Like the finest feast fit for a king? No, it was bread and fish. It was just a simple meal. He just got them like, hey, this is basic. This is simple. This is enough to sustain you. See, because if Jesus were just to give us all of our greeds and all of our desires and everything, then he'd just be like a magical genie that we can just conjure up and just say, God, give this to me or give that to me. But our faith would never grow. And God is too good of a father to ever do that to us. God cares so much more about your heart, your character than anything else. He cares about your faith. And we're going to get into that in just a second. But your faith would never grow if God just gave you your greeds. But he's not out to give you your greeds. He's out there to give you your needs so that you could depend on him and keep that healthy, constant dependency on who he is. Do you believe that God's going to come through for you? Do you believe that Jesus is enough for you? Do you believe that he knows what's best for you? Like, you know, it's kind of nice and churchy for me to say that. But do you really believe that? That he has a perfect time and a perfect will. And if you trust in him, he's going to take care of you. It's going to be okay. Here's the fourth thing. This is the thing that we need to bring. And that's faith. We got to bring the faith. Jesus brings the rest. Jesus brings the work. Jesus brings the feast. He's going to provide for us in his time. But we bring the faith. And the funny thing about it is Jesus really brings the faith. Like to begin with, he's the author of our faith. So like he's the one that started it, initiated it. But he just wants us to use the gift that he's given us. He wants to use us to use the faith that he's begun in us. And when we put it to use, I mean, that's exactly what God wants for us. Jesus brings a lot, but he wants you to make a contribution. You know, here's the sad part of the story. Everything's been pretty good up until now. The disciples got to rest. Jesus taught. Jesus, the King of Kings, had compassion for the people and he fed them. Everything was good. But listen, here's the sad part of the story. The disciples, they didn't learn anything from this miracle. That's a bummer. That's sad. Because these guys were literally just on a mission trip, getting to cast out demons and heal sick people and raise them up, right? And then all of a sudden here, after they preach the gospel hundreds of times around the villages, now they're acting as if none of it ever happened. They're just thinking so naturally. They're like, Jesus, it's getting late. Like, send these people home so they could go and get some food. I think Taco Bell's still open at this hour and they can go through the drive-thru. Taco Bell wasn't in existence at that time. Just a little clarification. But they're like, Jesus, like, go. Like, this isn't helpful. And you know, like, when we look at it with natural eyes, when we look at it from an earthly perspective, it seems like, man, the disciples, they had a point. I mean, I read a lot of commentaries of, you know, pastors who were like, well, the disciples just hated the multitude. no, it's really not that strong. But they're like, you know, they were just annoyed by him, like, send him home. But I don't really see that. I think that they were concerned, but not the way that they should have been concerned. Looking at Jesus, who had raised the dead and healed the sick and opened the eyes of the blind, he could do anything he wanted. But instead, they looked at it so naturally and just like, Lord, send the people home. It's crazy. As I look at the text, I see at the beginning of this chapter, they were referred to as the apostles, but now here at the end, they're referred to as just disciples again. Like they went back from being the called and sent ones, the ones full of faith, and now they're just like, just the doubting disciples again. And it's sad to see that, but that's how we can be. You know, we can go to something, and we can have this experience with God, and we can see God move at Reboot and the Peak and all these things, and it could just be like on this mountaintop of experience with Jesus. And he can do anything, and he's so powerful in my life, and I can overcome anything in Jesus. And then we go back into a different season where we don't have that mountaintop view. And we have the valley below. And that's where we're at. And how often do we lose our faith in those moments? And we forget. We forget the promises of God. We forget the great works that he wants to do. He's not done yet. You know, after they ate, Jesus, he sends the disciples home, right? He's like, get in the boat. You guys go. I'll catch up with you. They're tired. And then the crowds, right? He's like, they're trying to make him king. And Jesus is like, no, my time hasn't come. And he sends them away himself. So Jesus is like doing traffic ministry. He's like, everybody get out, you know, go this way downtown. Like, everybody get out. He sends them off. Jesus goes to a mountaintop. He spends some time alone in prayer. And then when it was time to meet up with the guys, he comes to them and he finds them in the middle of the sea in a storm, the thick of it. The disciples are panicking. They're crying out. They're fearful for their very lives. The wind was fierce. The waves were fierce. It was not looking good. And Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And they're freaked out. They're like, it's a ghost, right? And Peter's like, Jesus, if it's you, then I'm going to take a step out of the boat. And Jesus is like, come on. And he's like, okay. And then he's like, ah! And then he sinks, right? Because he looked at the waves. He took his eyes off of Jesus. Jesus picks him up. He gets him back into the boat. And immediately the storm stops. And Jesus is left staring at the 12. And he just says, why do you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. The disciples were living underneath their potential. Spectrum, do you believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Do you believe that Jesus really is a good shepherd and that you have your needs in him? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is actively at work in your life? Do you believe that Jesus is never going to let you go and never abandon you? Do you believe that he's enough, that his grace is enough? Do you really believe it? Do you believe that he's going to provide your needs in his perfect timing? Where's your faith, Spectrum? Where's your faith? Why do you doubt? I had that same conversation with myself. Oh, Kelly, you have little faith. Why do you doubt? Jesus is there. Jesus is present in our lives. You know, if you believe that, offer it up to him. Everything you got. What do you have? He said, not much. What do you have? A broken home. Painful past. I have an uncertain future. I have this dream that I'm like close to giving up on. Maybe that's you. So what do you have? I have all these insecurities. I don't know if I can do it. You tell God. What do you have? Not much. It's not a lot. It's painful. It's a struggle. I don't have a lot. Hey, listen, neither did the disciples. What did they have? They had this little sad Lunchable that they confiscated from some kid. Right? That was not good enough for anybody. Like, that wasn't good enough for even the disciples to munch on. Like, that was a kid's meal. That was a happy meal. That wasn't enough. But it was enough for Jesus to take. What do you have? That's what they had. They had a loaf of bread, several of them, a couple fish. That could have been offered up in faith, but it wasn't. That could have been offered up in faith, but it wasn't. Because they didn't see what Jesus could do. Jesus wanted them to see this beautiful picture of him as a good shepherd. He wanted them to see the picture that he would provide every need and that he's capable of impossible things. But the disciples are like, what do you want us to do? Go to the villages and spend money that we don't have? That's like a year's salary worth of bread. And they're just going to get hungry later. Like, well, all we've got is this. They weren't expecting it to be multiplied, but Jesus took it anyway, and he fed the people because that's what Jesus does. But it could have been offered up in faith. And if they had just had faith in that, then imagine what their faith would have looked like in the middle of that storm. Just say, Jesus is coming. He's not going to leave us here to die. He's not going to leave us here to be taken down by the waves and spectrum. Listen, we can have that same trust and that same faith that Jesus will not let you down. Jesus will not abandon you. Jesus doesn't run late on his promises. He's here and he will provide in his perfect time. Man, if they weren't faithful in the feast, then they wouldn't have been faithful in the storm. And that's what it is for us. Jesus wants our faith to work. Remember, he began that faith in our lives. He wants it to work. I say, what do you have? I say, not a lot. It's not about how much you have, it's what you do with that. It's not about what you have, it's not about how much you have, it's about how you offer it to Jesus. Do you give it to him in faith? You say, I don't know, like, my family's divorced, my family's broken, like, I don't have a lot of friends, I have all these insecurities and these issues, and I'm just not sure. Just give it to God and see what he does with it. He wants to multiply that in your life. He wants to bring your faith to a new level. He can work with the little you have. Listen, Spectrum, listen, there is so much potential in your problems. There's so much potential there in the things that we go through, the hardships, the difficulties, the struggle. There's so much potential there if you just offer it up to Jesus in faith. Will you do that? We say, Lord, here it is. Like, it's nothing much. It's not very helpful. But if I give it to you, I know that you could use it. I mean, look at anybody that God used in the Bible. Moses. Or Abraham. Sarah. I look at the Hall of Faith and I just see what made those people? What caused them to become Hall of Faithers in Hebrews chapter 11? What was it? They trusted God. They gave it to him. They gave the little that they had. Rahab gave the little that she had. She offered it up to God in faith, knowing that God could do something with the little, and he multiplied it. God wants to do that in your life. So much potential in your problems if you're willing to give it up to Jesus in faith. What is faith? Believing in him. Trusting in him. Having confidence in who he is, in who he was, and who he will be. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on him. You know, Spectrum, I'm leaving. But I want to hear your stories about what God is doing in your life. Believe me, I want to hear those things. I want to hear stories of faith. I don't want to hear stories about how faith failed. I'm tired of hearing stories of how faith failed Faith failed. Faith failed. I want to hear stories of faith that moves mountains in your guys' lives. There's so much potential here in this room. I want to hear more stories of faith and less stories of how fear took over and fear won. There's no room for fear. Because listen, last time I checked, God has not given any of us in this room who trust in Him a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we can take that and we can rise up to the people that God really, really wants us to be. To the faith that looks at the impossible and says, I follow the God of impossible things. That's what God wants for us. And I want to see that. I want to hear those stories. God's still working at Spectrum. I believe it. God's not done. He's not done in your life. He's not done in my life. We got to trust Him for that. We got to trust Him. We're storytellers, right? You're writing a story. I'm writing a story. You're writing a memoir of Jesus in your life. How He's changed you. Your testimony is being written. Don't let it just end at, I came to faith when I was a little kid. Let God do some things in your life. Let Him move mountains that you never thought could ever be moved. He's doing something. Let's let our stories be stories of faith. Let's let our stories be stories that leave a legacy and they lift up Jesus more than anything else. Jesus, You're still enough. You're still enough. Keep us. Lord, I'm so thankful that You give us rest in our time of need. You're a good shepherd. You lead us beside quiet waters. You cause us to lay down in green pastures. You restore our soul. I thank You for being the God who is the perfect leader for us, who cares about us when we feel burdened and overwhelmed. And You say, take My burden and I'll take Yours. You're the God who continues to work impossible things, and You're still moving here. Provide our needs. Lord, take the little that we have and use it for Your glory. Use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's stand up, Spectrum.